Our opening hymn from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn 589, Lord, Speak to Me That I May Speak. The Lord be with you. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer this morning. And hopefully on your way in, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. I just wanted to draw attention to a couple of things in this coming week. After church this morning, we're looking forward to a soup lunch over in the church hall, and the proceeds from the soup lunch, there's no admission, but there is a suggested donation, and the proceeds are going to parish funds and also to support the parish of Green Island, which was recently burned in an arson attack. And so all are welcome to the soup lunch. That's after our service this morning over in the church hall. Also wanted to mention that this week most of our regular parish activities are happening, but I wanted to mention that Pilates are not happening this Wednesday evening, but they will be resuming next week. So no Pilates this Wednesday evening. On Thursday at 12:30, the funeral service of Mr. Tom Hall will take place here in church on Thursday at 12:30. And next Sunday, our service is our Holy Communion at 9 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, we have our invitation service, and there will be bacon baps served from 10 o'clock next Sunday morning over in the church hall. And next Sunday evening at 7, the service of evening prayer. Also want to say a special word of welcome this morning to some guests who are with us. Sam and Denise Coates are very welcome. They're here this morning, and they were married on this very day in 1972. And so you're very, very welcome. You and your family are here from the United States, and we want to congratulate you on this very special landmark, and hopefully you'll get the chance to speak to people after the service. But you're very, very welcome, and again, it's a very special day for your family as you celebrate your 52nd wedding anniversary. So congratulations from all of us this morning. And maybe we could show our congratulations to you. Our service this morning is the service of morning prayer 2. You'll find all the responses will be on the screen. If you wish to follow in the Book of Common Prayer, our service begins on page 101. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, and negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for this morning is a psalm of praise, and we're going to sing it together. We'll find it on page 611 as we sing Psalm 19.
Jesus.
if you'd like to be seated for a first reading.
Our first reading this morning is from the New Testament, and it is James's letter to the church. We read from chapter 3 and beginning at verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistake in speaking is perfect and able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouth of horses and make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large, it takes strong winds to drive them. Yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of the Lord.
During the singing of our next hymn, the children and young people will be leaving us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. Our hymn is a hymn that reflects on the importance of the scriptures in our lives as we sing hymn 383, Lord, be thy word my rule.
Please take your seats. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 8, and beginning at verse 27. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist," and others, "Elijah," and still others, "One of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called a crowd with his disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory, the glory of his Father, with the holy angels. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's respond to our Bible readings as we stand together and proclaim our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Our special collect prayer today is a prayer in which we seek God's wisdom for how we live our lives. O Lord, hear the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing again now from our church hymnal, hymn 384, Lord, thy word abideth.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, may the words spoken today be pleasing to you, and may they come from a wellspring of love. We ask this in your dear name. Amen. As most of you probably know, not far from here is a campus of the Belfast Met, the local college. And the local campus here boasts decent-sized playing fields, and one of them is a rugby field. And it backs on to the property that's the police station on Montgomery Road, so it's hard onto it. And I imagine it would be a great inconvenience to keep having to go round to the wee security gate in the police station to ask for the ball back. I actually remember when I first visited here, we'd be in the mid-90s, and I looked at the police stations, and they were the fortresses that were police stations, and they were so different from what I was used to. And it was before people used their phones for sat-nav, and I needed directions. And I went to knock on the wee bit of glass, and the person was very suspicious, but it seems that it wasn't done to go and knock on one of these windows to ask for directions. You live and learn. Where was I? So, you've got this big sports rugby pitch, and it's looking on to the police station. And so to stop the ball going over, a big barrier has been erected. And you may not find this interesting, but I do, and I think some of you do as well. It runs along the back of the pitch, and it's made of strong wire. And here's the interesting bit. It's tall, but very narrow. It being a fence. And anyone who grew up playing with Lego or Meccano or anything like that, if it's tall and it's narrow, what's it going to do? It's going to fall over. So I'm always impressed by the way that simple things are designed and constructed. Things like cobble streets or plumbing piping in your house. We're surrounded by these most simple ingenuities that we take for granted. And this particular fence is held in place and it's held in shape by some very high tension wires. And these wires run along it, and in turn they are bolted down into concrete foundations. However, the concrete's not enough on its own. Even that has been poured into deep pits. And it's hardened in such a way that it is deeply and tightly pressed under the earth itself. So this tension and grip that's holding these wires up comes from roots that are deeply embedded in the earth itself. And the earth itself is strong enough to hold up the college, the spar garage behind it, the police station, and even up the hill to our church. So it's not rocket science, but the integrity of this simple wire fence is held in place by the most immense pull and forces. And it's these great forces that give the wire, the simple wire, its integrity. Jesus of Nazareth, the man who lived and worked around Galilee, Mary and Joseph's son, would have probably looked no different from anyone else around him. Dark skin, simple clothes, speaking Aramaic. He should not have stood out from the crowd. Except he did. In fact, the crowd tended to gather around him and follow him. If you get a couple of friends together, and I've done this, and if you stand in the street and all look up, people tend to stop or pause around you and look up to see what you're looking at. People looking at something causes more looking. People were always looking at Jesus, and this brought more people to come and look at Jesus. They heard tell of the preacher, the healer, the miracle worker, and they came to look. And what would they have seen? Well, again, just a man with dark skin, simple clothes, speaking Aramaic, like everybody else. And yet, so often they didn't turn away from his simplicity because there was something about him.
There was something more. He was speaking with an integrity that seemed to be held in shape and held in place by something bigger than any of them, something deeper and solid. His foundations, the ground he stood and worked on, were embedded in God himself. God so great that he held up all of creation, the God of Moses, Miriam, Abraham, Sarah, the sun, the moon, and the stars. God so great that he could even humble himself and become a simple man in plain clothes, a plain clothes deity. And again, it's not rocket science, really, but the integrity of God the Son was and is held in place and held in tension by infinite force and weight, even more powerful and strong than whatever's holding up the spar or the police station or us. And that was why Jesus' words were so true. That's why his words broke, healed, and enraged hearts. And it was why those who loved and hated him equally cared about what he said, because they knew that, agree with them or not, his words mattered. And that's what gave him the audacity to say, "Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man, the Messiah, will also be ashamed when he comes in glory, the glory of his Father with the holy angels." He said, "Accept my words and God will accept you. Don't accept my words and God will be ashamed of you." Now, what about my words and these words? Be careful of my words. James wrote, "Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle." Now, in my translation of the Bible, there's a wee asterisk there, and I look down at the bottom and it says, "Andy, that's not you. My tongue is the thing that is most likely to get me into trouble. Its impulsiveness is constantly needing checked. In the last 3 minutes, there are two stories that have come to mind that I think would be relevant, but would need for me to step down these steps." And we're always thinking about what's appropriate to say and what's not appropriate to say. And this impulsiveness is of words in me is constantly needing checked, almost as if what I had in my mouth was an untamed beast. And it's a reflection of my humanity. It's a reflection of our humanity. We're made in the image of God, and yet we speak words that can hurt the Creator and his creation. The things we say in public, in private, online, all the things we say gathered together are a good measure of our integrity. And our integrity, our human integrity, is, well, we do our best to form our structure. We heave and we pull and we give things the best shape that we can. But we're like a tent on a windy day and somebody's forgotten to stick the guy ropes down and we're off. If I was a fence at the bottom of the rugby pitch, the police station would be inundated with people coming around and saying, "Can we have our ball back, please?" And they would say, "You need to change that fence." And yet, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And we thank Paul for those words that we can claim as our own. Do you remember the movie Lady and the Tramp? Its most famous scene is when that, and you'll be picturing it right now, when that canine pair are served spaghetti and meatballs by an Italian stereotype in a back alley. They shyly eat together, and then they realize at one moment that they're both eating away at the opposite ends of the same bit of pasta. And it's a lovely and ingenious bit of imagery that I'm going to take and misuse in the last 2 minutes. We, you and I, are made up of the seen and the unseen, the said and the unsaid, the heard and the unheard. That's what some of the things that makes us up. My Heavenly Father gathers me to Himself, while at the same time as He gathers me, I'm pushed into His arms by the loving work of the Lord Jesus. And there, in God's presence, I am fully aware of my lack of integrity, my hidden yet shallow foundations. And so I ask Him daily to forgive me, to reroot me, and to rebuild me. And at the same time, I seek to tame my public aspect, my visible form, and I do that through prayer, devotion, hard work, and determination like we all do. But even here, I'm not alone, as the winds that would drive me inside out are joined by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, and this is true of all of us. Our character and our integrity, thoroughly human and imperfect, is being tamed in its seen parts, in its hidden parts. And as we collaborate with God, we both find that we've been working at two ends of the same person. And that work comes together and gives us growing integrity. I'm being molded to be more like Jesus. A long, long way to go. I'm being tamed to be more like Jesus. And you are being molded and tamed again to be more like Jesus. The word that we give it is sanctification. More like Jesus is easier. I prefer it. However, beware. Being tame is not the same as being completely safe to be around. I am being tamed. You are being tamed, yes. But we're all being tamed to conform to the will of a wonderfully wild and, to us, unpredictable God. Can we take a moment's quiet? And then can we pray to God who is at work in us? Heavenly Father, through your work, through your Son, through your Holy Spirit, we are being made more and more like you in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. And this is as we give ourselves to you. Help us to give ourselves to you. Help us to acknowledge our faults and acknowledge our weaknesses. And help us to allow you in to do your work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray today for the church worldwide. We pray because we know that you long for us to bring us your prayers. And we know that you hear us, and you are the God who answers our prayers. We pray for Bishop David and for our Rector Jonathan. We pray for their families. Would you give them everything that is good and rightful and needed over the next week to come? We pray for our brothers and sisters who are worshiping over these 24 hours in parts of the world where your children are persecuted. And we thank you for the freedom that we have to worship, and we ask that you would allow us to use these freedoms in a good way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for those parts of the world which are continuing in their warring. We know that there is Israel and Gaza, there's Russia and there's Ukraine, and we are constantly praying for these regions and countries. And Heavenly Father, we also ask you to be with those places that have been in conflict for such a long time that are no longer on the news. It's your world, Heavenly Father. Would you please bring your peace in the way that you know how? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the Northern Ireland Assembly, the First and Deputy First Ministers, and all its members. We pray for the health of King Charles and for his family. And we pray for the Westminster government that we may be quietly and justly governed. We pray for a government that has the needs of the most vulnerable closest to their heart. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that it seems that things have quietened down in the streets around us or not far from us. But would you please bring wholeness and healing and safety to those who are worried or frightened or damaged because of the racial violence and tension over the last month or so? Your Son, our Lord Jesus, was open to those of any nationality. Would you conform us to be more like your Son? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for those in need. We ask you to be close in your wholeness to the lonely, the refugees, the destitute, and the homeless. Be close to groups like the Larder and the Salvation Army and Fields of Life, and give them all the resources that they need. And in a moment's quiet, we bring to you those on our own hearts who are in special need this morning. And Lord God, today we bring to you the family of Thomas Hall. Thomas is safe with you and at peace with you, but would you be with his family as they have a funeral service coming up this week, and as they slowly come to terms with their loss. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, who loves and hears us, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And mindful of Jesus' invitation to us to come to him as we are. That's the theme of the hymn of our offering, which we're going to sing together. Hymn 587, Just As I Am Without One Plea. Thank you for sharing with us in our worship this morning, and thank you to all those who've been joining us online. We bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Closing hymn is an invitation to go and take that faith which we have experienced for ourselves into the world as we sing together hymn 478, Go Forth and Tell. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.